B-Pod Studios.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock hour, Mike Mussinelli's show. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. And they also sponsor our regular Friday guest. It's usually Football Friday, and we'll talk some football because the Eagles made a move today. Brian Westbrook brought to us by Landis Block. B. West, how are you feeling today?
You know what, Mike? I am feeling really, really good. I'm a little bit disappointed in you, though. Friday, obviously, is our day. We always talk, and we usually meet down at the Tropicana for the Maxwell Football Awards. We go to the awards
ceremony.
You're
down there. You're at the Maxwell.
Yeah, and then afterwards, we always hang out. We have a cigar. We hang out at the bar afterwards, and we party all night long. And this year, instead, you decided to go down to Florida and, talk a little baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a good time to be down here with the big signing of Bryce Harper. And tomorrow's a big game. I am sorry I'm missing the Maxwell Club. I completely lost track of that.
Yeah, you lost track of it.
Who are the big winners, Brian?
Well, Patty Mahomes is here, of course. Andy Reid is here. Ray Lewis is getting some award. There's an awful lot. You know, the Maxwell, they do it right. They're the oldest football club, in the world. And so they do it right. They bring in a lot of big guests. And so it should be another exciting evening.
Andy Reid got Coach of the Year?
Yeah, Andy Reid did get Coach of the Year. I'm surprised. I mean, he didn't have get to the big game or win it, but yeah, I think he did get Coach of the Year. Yep.
And Mahomes was what, Player of the Year?
I think he was the Player of the Year, I think. I think that's what they're giving him. I did not go to the rehearsal this afternoon. Uh-huh. Instead, I had lunch with my college coach, and so I skipped the rehearsal. So I'm not exactly sure what he's getting an award for, but I know that he's here. But other than that, I mean, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, it usually is. Villanova, I was thinking about you because I just watched Villanova's baseball team get beat up by Philly's minor leaguers.
Really?
Yeah, they played today right in front of us.
How was it? They didn't look too good, huh?
The Cats got smoked. They had one hit today.
Ooh, that's not good. So you're enjoying Florida. I was listening to you yesterday when you were interviewing Bryce Harper, and I must say you were a little giddy yesterday.
I was giddy with Bryce.
Yeah. You were giddy a little bit. Yeah.
I thought I was professional with Bryce. What did you think of Bryce Harper in that interview?
I think he's a solid dude. I mean, it sounds like he is a really good guy. To me, sometimes these guys that get paid this big money, and you can kind of tell the ones that love the game, that play the game the right way, that love what they do, they go out and use the best talent and continue to get better every single day. They work on their profession. That's the type of guy that Bryce Harper seems to be. He seems to be one of those guys that wants to get better every single day. And I think this term gets thrown around probably a little bit more than it should. But he seems like one of those guys that would go out and play baseball for absolutely no money. That's because he loves the game so much. He seems like a guy that's going to fit in very well in Philadelphia.
In fact, that was his first offer. He called the Phillies and said he wanted to play for no money, and they said, no, we want to give you $330 million.
Sign me up for that deal.
Yeah, so against his better judgment, he took the $330 million,
B. West. That's right.
So let's talk about the Eagles. They just made a trade. They traded Michael Bennett. And they got a seventh round in return, and they got a fifth round, and they traded back a seventh round. Right. So what do you think of that decision?
Well, I'll tell you this: I think it's going to first of all, they're trying to get cap money, so they're trying to make some room under the cap to get some money back. So that I think that was important in that case. But I'll tell you, Michael Bennett last year, for a guy that didn't start for most of the year, I mean, he was productive. 9 sacks on the season. I mean, he had a bunch of hurries. He's a guy that you can use in multiple positions inside as well as at the defensive end position. So he's a guy that was very productive as he was playing. I don't know that he fit into the culture of the Eagles the way that they wanted him to. Obviously productive on the field, but you get a veteran that has his own mind. He's going to do things one way, his way. And I don't know that he fit into the locker room, the culture of what the Eagles are trying to build. And so, of course, they moved them. And so, really, for them, it was two good things. They get rid of a guy that didn't fit in, and they also are getting some cap relief. So I think if for them it was a good move. But here's the problem. Now they have to go find a guy or two to replace him. That's what it is. You got to go find a guy that can rush the quarterback from the defensive end stop, I mean, from a position, and then he can be able to slide inside and play some D tackle as well. It's hard to find those types of guys in the NFL.
So they made the right move by re-signing Brandon Graham and moving on from Bennett, in your view?
Well, I think Brandon Graham, when healthy, is a very productive player. I would have tried to work things out with Michael Bennett. I think he's a guy that can help you win games. I'm also of the belief that, you make your culture what it is, and you try to make sure that guys fit into that culture. He'll go up to New England and fit in that culture up there, and he'll be productive in that defense. And so I would have found a way to make him work. Now they have to go out and find another guy. Maybe that's Vinnie Curry coming back. Maybe that's a different guy in free agency, but they have to go out and find all new guys. And to me, that's not the way that I would want to move at this point as far as the progression of Doug Peterson's staff and team as well.
All right. So they do have some cap space, and they now have some room to out and get maybe a running back or whatever. They can even bring Nick Foles back, frankly, right?
I want to ask you both about one more guy. Now, they have about $23, $24 million right now. Aguilar's due over $9 million. That's too much for a slot receiver, and they haven't extended him. Now that the tampering period is Monday, if you can't get something done with him this weekend, would you sacrifice that $9 million and try to build up? Because how much are you willing to pay a slot receiver who's not that good?
I think that's a good question. I mean, you have to figure out, what Nelson can do. I would not feel comfortable paying him $9 million. I don't know that he is as productive as someone in the league that you want to pay $9 million. The other question is this, though. You have to, you give up a guy, you're getting rid of a salary, which is good, but you have to be getting something in return. And that means you have to draft well, which, is questionable on the Eagles' ability to draft well year in and year out. Or you have to find someone in free agency. They went out and got Mike Wallace last year. He obviously got injured, speed guy on the outside. But they have to find guys that can catch the football. And in this offense, I wonder how important the slot receiver is, especially when you have guys like Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, especially Zach Ertz, and they work in the middle of the field. Is the slot receiver as important? I don't know that it is. I think that if you have an explosive guy on the outside, it's probably a little bit more important. So I would be willing to sacrifice of $9 million bucks and Nelson Aguilar out the door to try to get me an outside receiver that can help me right away. I'll tell you, I like the receiver out in San Diego, Tyrell Williams. Speed, he's a big receiver, he runs good routes, he can get around people. I wouldn't have a problem with paying him, and he'll be an outside receiver. That way you can stretch the field with him, a big guy with speed, stretch the field, get down the field, and that opens up things for Zach Ertz even more.
Brian, I want to ask you about some running backs, and there are a lot of running backs on the board that they can go out and grab here as a free agent, and I think their strategy might be to do that and then draft another young guy. So I'm going to run down a list. You give me a yay or nay on whether you're interested. Tevin Coleman.
No, not interested.
You're not interested in Tevin Coleman. Why not?
No, I saw him play a lot last year down in Atlanta, and I thought he was okay. There were times where he looked good, and there were just other times he looked just average. And I think the entire year, obviously Foreman was hurt down there in Atlanta, and so, Coleman got a lot of the carries. I just didn't think he looked as good throughout the entire year as I thought he should have, especially in that offense. And they had a lot of problems in Atlanta, whether it was the coach or play call, and they couldn't find a way to get the ball to Julio early on in the year. Coleman had a couple good games, but throughout the entire season, I think, he just didn't play as well as I thought he should have.
All right. Mark Ingram.
I like Mark Ingram. I think that he would add value to this team. He's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's explosive. He's a strong runner. He's also a guy that's been used to sharing carries. So, obviously, he's sharing carries down there with Kamara. And so, you have to think that even if Sproles comes back, even if the other running backs will get some carries, then he's used to going in and being explosive for two or three plays, and he's not expecting to get 20, 25 carries a game. He's not a guy that needs that. He's not a volume. He doesn't have to be a volume type of back. He can be a guy that you can use, you know, 12 to 15 carries a game, and he's still going to be very productive because he did that down there in New Orleans for so long.
All right, Duke Johnson.
I think they like Duke Johnson. I mean, I saw him a lot in Cleveland. I mean, to me, he's more of a change of pace guy, speed type of guy, catches the ball well out of the backfield. He had a big game after they fired their offensive coordinator, and Freddie Kitchens, the running back coach, became the offensive coordinator. He had a big game for the Browns right after that, and he kind of faded from there. I don't know that he would be the guy that I would want to depend on game after game to get 15 carries a game.
All right, last guy, T.J. Yeldon.
T.J. Yeldon's interesting. I think he's one of the guys, you know, obviously he played for the Jaguars. He, you know, when they went to him as a full-time running back instead of a change-of-pace guy because he usually was there to catch the ball out of the backfield. So they went to him as a full-time running back when their running back got suspended, and he did okay. I don't know that he's a guy that's going to get you 20 carries a game either. He will be a guy that you can split some carries with. I think he's much more of a pass-catching running back than the carry-the-ball type of running back, and that's what they've been using for the most part of his career. He certainly will be a great option if you're trying to get him out of the backfield to catch the football. I don't know that he would be my number one run threat if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. All right. Got the lowdown.
So really,
B. West.
Yeah, out of all those guys, I think Mark Ingram probably is the most solid guy out of all of them. He's probably the most productive as a running back, and he catches the ball well. So if you were going free agent route, Mark Ingram would be the guy for me. Out of
29
those five
years
guys.
Old now.
A little bit older, yeah. So, I mean, again, how much money do you want to pay him? But you also got to think, maybe he doesn't have as much wear and tear on his body because he was splitting some carries these last couple of years.
All right. You have been hearing the conversation about Brett Brown, and we've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody, he's in that. He's gotten into that category, what I call Taintville, where the fans are just waiting for him to do something wrong. And he can't get that back unless they do something really good in the playoffs. Is the criticism of him, in your view, from outside, fair?
Well, I think when you have, you know, Ben Simmons, you have Jimmy Butler, you trade for Tobias Harris, and whenever you have a healthy Joel Embiid, which we haven't had here recently, the fans expect you to win. The expectation was that we would win a lot of games even before we got Tobias Harris, and then we saw that we needed an extra guy. And so the expectation was that now is time for us to be in the Eastern Conference Championship game and quite possibly in the finals. And after you watch the Sixers play, they're making a lot of mental mistakes. And it's not, and of course, it's not all Brett Brown's fault. And sometimes it's the player's fault as well. But, you know, it's all, you know, everything starts at the top. And he should get some of the credit. He certainly should get some of the blame. I don't think that, you know, some of the defensive lapses like the other night when Jimmy Butler and Mike Scott, they don't know how to play defense all of a sudden. They don't know how to guard the pick and roll. That's nothing that Brett Brown can teach. Now, maybe he's saying you should switch and things like that. That's something that you talk about in the huddle before that play is run. But to me, two veteran players should be able to figure out a pick and roll. That's not a Brett Brown thing. I think that, you know, I didn't love the out-of-bounds plays in that game when they put, I think, 0.5 seconds back on the clock. I didn't love either one of those. But I think for a basketball team, the people in Philadelphia, Sixers fans are saying, listen, you have four good players. And then when you get Embiid back, you have four. You guys should be able to win. And I think when you lose to teams like the Bulls and you're making bad plays, it looks bad on Brett Brown. And if you can't get all these players to buy into the system and do the right thing, then that's a coaching thing. You have to find somebody that can get these guys to buy in. And I think that's what the fans are feeling at this point.
All right, let's get to the phones. Brian from West Philly. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Oh, Mikey, what's going on, baby? First time calling, man.
Thank
you. How you feeling? Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. So I'm calling to talk a little bit of basketball. I'm actually a Kings fan. So I'm actually, this is like the first time in seasons seasons and years, not seasons, years, that I actually been able to be emotionally invested in a team.
You're a Kings, Sacramento Kings fan?
Sacramento Kings, baby. From
Where does that come from? Where in hell a guy from West Philly could go with Sacramento Kings?
Well, you know what? You know, I'll tell you my football team after. You'll get a bigger laugh out of that later. But just the style of play, man. Like I was born in 1990. So, you know, I grew up in the AI era, but at the same time, like just kind of watching like basketball growing up, and I saw the Kings on TV, you know, the high flying way they played up and down the court, Jason Williams passing the ball. I just fell in love. And I never switched.
Jason Williams, Chris Webber.
You're talking like the Vlade Divac, the Webber, that team?
That was a championship team.
Paige Stojakovic?
Paige Stojakovic, baby, one of the best shooters of the modern era.
Oh, dude, that is such a violation.
How is that a violation, Mike?
The Sacramento Kings? You couldn't get further away from Philadelphia than Sacramento.
Well, how about this? I'll give you a bigger violation. How about my football team? And it's funny you were just talking to B. West about T.J. Yeldon, because I think he would be a great pickup for the Eagles offense. I'm a Jaguars fan, Mike. And
there's no help for you.
Oh,
man.
What up, baby?
There's no help for you. Talk to me about Brett Brown.
I'm gonna talk to you about Brett Brown. So yeah. I think the issue is that it seems like his offense isn't evolving at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you look at the lineup they have now, and I know they have a lot of new pieces, but it's like at the same time, certain things that shouldn't be happening on the court. I don't want Jimmy Butler playing point guard. Ben Simmons cannot stretch the floor. He cannot shoot the ball. So with that limitation being set this season, because it looks like his jump shot isn't going to improve this year, yeah. with that being the case, you want Simmons handling the ball, and you want Jimmy Butler to slash. You want Tobias Harris to come off the curls. He can hit the three off the pick. You want Embiid in the post. You want more structure.
I get you. They're hampered by the fact. Thanks for the call, Brian. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mike.
I can't believe you're a Kings fan. The thing is, that they're trying to protect Ben Simmons late in games because people sometimes employ the foul Ben strategy. So they're trying to keep him away from that and finding another way to attack. Now, I don't know. Is that the way to go? Are they giving into that too much, Tyrone and Brian, that Ben can't do certain things, so they have to protect him?
They did, because at the end of the Warriors game, he went to the ball and looked to get fouled, made the first one. He was 5 for 5 in that game. Mm-hmm. Then they made him miss the last one on purpose. He's actually had a pretty good run making foul shots. I think at this point, you just have to trust him. And also, how's he going to get better in those situations if you don't put him in those situations?
You know, I've been thinking about this thing with Jimmy playing the point, especially late in games. And the point guard usually is going to facilitate for others. And you're putting Ben on the wing. You put him in the corner. And there are just times, and not just late in games. I just want Jimmy just to go get his. Go find a way to get you 3 or 4 buckets in a row. I just want him to go get his buckets. And there's just so many times he's passive. And I don't know if that's a Brett Brown thing. I know Jimmy wasn't like that in any other place that he's played. He just seems like he's been very, very passive. And listen, I talked about this just a little bit earlier about buying in. And you have to make sure that one of the things that the Patriots have done so well as a football team is that they've made people buy in the Patriot way. And I don't know that happens all the time in basketball, but Brett Brown has to find a way to get these guys to buy in, because to me it seems like this is a player's team. The NBA really is a player's league, but this is even more of a player's team where they've kind of pacified certain guys, Ben, probably Joel just a bit, and now I think there's instances in the end of games when you're trying to hide them that it just doesn't work. And you saw it on Jimmy's lips the other day that Brett Brown called a couple plays, you know, defensively, and that just weren't going to work, and he knew it. And it didn't work at the end of the game. You just have to wonder how much control Brett Brown has over this team as a whole and how much respect this team has in him, and what happens if they continue to lose. How much respect will they lose for the coach if they don't figure this out pretty soon?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And but see, I'm in a holding pattern. I know stuff is going wrong. I know they're not quite gelled. I expected that they were going to gel. I fell for the same thing everybody else did. As soon as they made those acquisitions, boom, here we go, Eastern Conference champions. And it hasn't worked that smoothly. Now, that doesn't mean it can't work smoothly when the playoffs start. So that's what I'm saying. All the heat that's on Brett Brown right now, to me, should be delayed heat. Well, like, it should be hovering, and the heat should come down if they fail in the playoffs.
This is a totally different team when Joel Embiid come back. We all know that. When he comes back, it's a totally different team. I think those drives to the basket like LaVine had the other night, they're not going to be as easy when you have Embiid in the background protecting the rim. So it's a different team. They're totally different defensively when Joel Embiid comes back. So you're absolutely right. I don't know that we can put the pressure on them now. However, as fans, we want to see them continue to get better as we inch towards the playoffs. So now in the playoffs, you're playing your best basketball. Right now, we're not seeing this team's best basketball.
All right. Brian Westbrook hanging in till 5 o'clock. Your calls also after this break. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're live from Clearwater, Florida. Tomorrow, big stuff down here. Back after this.
Update. More room under the cap. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Eagles are trading Michael Bennett and a 2020 seventh rounder to the Patriots for a 2020 fifth rounder. Sixers face the Rockets tonight in Houston. Joel Embiid did not travel with the team. Ben Simmons is questionable for tonight with a stomach bug. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 8. The Mike Bissonelli Show is live from Spectrum Field in Clearwater. Manager Gabe Papler joined the show yesterday.
We don't have to tinker as much, right? Duramoto is going to play almost every day. Rhys Hoskins is going to play almost every day. So is Caesar. So is Gene Segura. So is McCutcheon. So is Harper. So these guys are going to be in the lineup every day. They're also going to settle into a comfort zone. So there's not going to be as much need to mix and match and tinker as you guys saw last year.
Flyers face the Islanders tomorrow night. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Visit Swiss Farms drive-thru markets for lunch or dinner. Try their chicken Caesar or chef salad. Plus, stock up on groceries right from your car. Go to SwissFarms.com for locations in Delaware County and Norristown. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5TheFanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show, live from spring training in Clearwater, Florida, on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It is time to get an update on our Twitter poll, but today's broadcast is made possible by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, providing contractors throughout the Delaware Valley with equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And the Twitter poll is brought to us in the 4 o'clock hour by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
Yes. Over 2,300 votes today, Mike. Who would you have chosen to keep? 80% say Brandon Graham, 20% say Michael Bennett.
All right. There you go. What was that, a reverb?
I must
have. Yeah, it was a reverb.
Oh.
Brian Westbrook is with us. Brian, in 2001, you were still a matriculating student at Villanova University. Am I correct?
That's right. That is true.
This question, then, should be right in your wheelhouse. And Tyrone should be in your wheelhouse, too. The guy brought up the Sacramento Kings. 2000-2001, Sacramento Kings won 55 games.
It was good.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Who was their starting team?
It was White Chocolate.
White Chocolate was the point guard. Jason Williams.
Chris Webber had to be there.
Chris Webber.
Vladdy.
Vladdy is correct.
Paige.
Paige is correct.
And was Doug Christie there?
Doug Christie is correct.
Wow.
That is nicely done.
That was a squad. I love that squad.
And off the bench, are you ready for this? Bobby Jackson,
He was a good player.
Heydu Turkoglu.
Good player.
And Nick Anderson came off the bench.
That's
for
a
that.
Squad.
It was a squad.
It was a squad.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I can see liking that team because they were pretty exciting. They had shooters the whole bit. They had White Chocolate. But once the Sacramento Kings fall out of contention forever, how do you still like them?
They haven't been good in so long, you're right.
Really? At what point do you go, nah, I'm done with this squad?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, let's get back to the phones. Ian in media. Ian, you're 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey. Hey, Mike. How are you today?
What's up, Ian? How you doing?
All right. So, obviously, since we talked about the Bennett trade, you guys talked about the Bennett trade. How about, can I throw you in, other interesting trade opportunity? Since the Steelers look like they're going to be rebuilding, because all their pieces are falling out, and how about we trade our second overall pick for this draft for Alejandro Villanueva? He protects Roethlisberger's blind side, which is the same side as Carson's.
Uh-huh.
And with Pete, and he's much younger, and can get him under cap. The reason why I bring this up, Peters was hurt every game. He checked himself out every single game. He's like, and literally.
Yeah, I get it, but why would Pittsburgh do that? He's a pretty important player for Pittsburgh, isn't he not? Is he not? And they got an old quarterback they had to protect.
Yeah, he's a good left tackle. I think it would be a bad decision for Pittsburgh if they have any hope to win. To get rid of their left tackle. And I think the Eagles are going to ride with Jason Peters. I don't know that would be an important enough thing for them to give up a draft pick to do.
Is it wise to squeeze out one more year for Jason Peters?
I love Jason Peters. I think he's a warrior. I think that he comes to work and he tries hard every game. I also understand that he's an aging player, and I would find a way to replace him. If I'm the Eagles.
Whoa. Okay.
He's age 30. The Steelers won't move him because his cap hit, and he's a starting left tackle, is only $8.3 million.
Yeah. Well,
why would you move a guy $8.3? That's cheap for a left tackle.
Ben Roethlisberger, they're not going to do less for Ben Roethlisberger, especially after all this. He's got to babysit 52 children. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he got a lot of trouble for that company.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
When Brian joins the A team, it becomes the A-plus team.
Yes, it does. Friday's 4 o'clock. It is a Buffo hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, by the way, Doug Christie was not the starter on that team. Mike Bibby was, so double-check
incorrect.
That.
Not that year, he was not.
Following year,
Mike Bibby wasn't on that team that year.
He replaced White Chocolate at point guard, and Christie remained the starting two guard.
Oh, come on, Dave. Don't mess with me, Dave.
Okay, my fault. Brian, I believe the Eagles are on a short list along with the Jets and Colts to bring in Le'Veon Bell. Let's get him signed, sealed, and delivered.
I mean, I like Le'Veon Bell. I think he brings a couple of dimensions to the offense that we haven't had in a long time.
Would he be your first preference, Brian?
He would be my first preference because he's a guy that we can count on to get 20 to 25 carries every single game. I'm not a big fan of the running back by committee. I'm a guy that I want my starter, and I know that I'm going to get 80 to 120 yards per game for my starting running back. And then we have a change of pace guy, Darren Sproles or Corey Clement. We have another guy that could come in and spell my starter for a couple plays. I don't want guys playing 10 plays, 15 plays, 20 plays. I want my starter to play majority of the time. Le'Veon Bell would be a great addition to this team.
Hey, Brian, I love the combine. I'm really intrigued by the 40-yard dash. Now, I know Neon Deion has the record, 4.0 flat with pads. There was a kid out of Fordham a few years ago who ran a 3.9 with pads, a 3.8 without pads, but he choked at the combine. What do you run, and what is big of a difference is between running with pads and without pads? And I'll hang up. Have a good weekend, gang.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the combine, at the time, it was a much slower surface. I think I ran a 4.56, something crazy like that, and then I came back and ran a 4.38 at my pro day at Villanova. But, I mean, obviously, there's a big difference in running with pads versus not having pads on. Here's the thing. For running backs, it's great to have speed, that long speed, the 40-yard speed. There's not a lot of running backs that are starters in this league right now that are running, you know, low 4.4s or high 4.3s in the 40. It's about quickness, short area quickness, shiftiness, being able to get your from point A to point B. If you have the ability to hit that home run, Alvin Kamara, some of those types of guys, that's even better. But there's just not a lot of running backs in the league right now that have that type of long-distance speed. I mean, I think you'll be surprised when you look at some of the 40 times for a lot of the starters in the NFL.
All right, let's go to North Carolina. Chuck checking in. What's up, Chuck?
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, Chuck?
It is a golden day. I have finally, of all the time I've called in, I've finally gotten to talk to Brian Westbrook.
Wow, look at that. First Friday call at 4 o'clock?
I will never wash this earbud again, ever. How you doing, Brian? I've been a huge fan of you. You and Donovan are the reason that I am an Eagles fan. I came in when you guys were in, and you guys were amazing, and I just really appreciate you bringing me into this Eagles family because it's been a fun ride.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And who would have thought that Westbrook would be as popular as McNabb?
Actually, Hubbard was more popular. I'm just saying it's my son's first jersey was a Brian Westbrook jersey.
I'm being sarcastic.
Well, Brian was always more popular. My son's first jersey was a Brian Westbrook jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, that's cool.
Anyway, so I don't get all celebrity blinded. I don't like the trade. I called you yesterday and I told you I wanted him, and I'm not happy. I really feel like we let go of a good player. But then if we go to the Super Bowl again and place the Patriots, we don't gave them Bennett. He's a dangerous player. I mean, I'm gonna tell you something. When you need a sack or you need a play, that guy came through this year. So I really don't like that. I don't like that move.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of the move. I think he could have helped the team. I'm wondering now that you get rid of Bennett, does that mean you bring back like a guy like Chris Long? Do you bring him back? You have to wonder that. I mean, he was productive. 9 sacks in the season and playing in a reserve role. That is productive. And so you need some production there.
Especially on the second half of the season, he really came through at the end. You know, we lost Barnett and all that, and in the playoffs. I mean, the guy was just a stud. He really carried the defense at times where Fletcher Cox was able to get a little bit of a breath where, you know, he was, you know, they really had to kind of worry about him and it let Cox get a little bit better penetration. So, you know, I really don't like that move. I just don't.
It's money. He wants more money. He wants to get more money.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He wanted more money. Yes.
Now, it's funny you brought up that 40 time with running backs. Le'Veon Bell, when he came out, since he was, you know, the gold standard, he was a 4.6 in the 40. But in the 3-cone drill, he ran it in 6.75, which is actually the fastest of every player in the draft. And you see, that's clearly is what translated. The 4.6 hasn't made a bit of difference in the league.
No, and you know what? He was a little bit heavier when he came out of college, too. But, you know, you're right. It's about quickness for the running back. Make a guy miss. And then if you get in the open field, hopefully you don't get caught. that's the hope. I certainly wasn't the fastest guy on our team by far, but quickness was a game for me. That was the most important part.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Brian Westbrook down ahead. The home stretch for our hour with Brian. He'll be with us till 5 o'clock. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show live from Clearwater. We're watching the field being prepared for tomorrow's big game. It's fascinating to watch guys mow lawns, Brian. and take care of the mound and all that stuff. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show, live from spring training in Clearwater, Florida, on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is 4:47 in Florida and in Atlantic City where Brian Westbrook is. And we're hooked up here Fridays with Brian Westbrook. You have a question for me, Mr. Westbrook?
I do. I'm looking over the list of free agents here, and I just saw that Danny Amendola was released by the Miami Dolphins. Any interest in him? Especially if you're going and parting ways with Nelson Aguilar. I mean, would he be a slot receiver that you would consider?
He would be an okay replacement for Aguilar if you want to save some money and bring in a guy who's, he'd make some plays for you.
He can get in and out of the, he's been injured a little bit last year, too. But, again, I don't know that slot receiver is a big position. What about a guy like Carlos Hyde, who got released by the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, I don't know about Carlos Hyde. It seems to me he's cooked. Yeah. He has that look of being cooked.
I thought, you know,
when you look at Jacksonville, he didn't really do much. He looks like a burned-out running back to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You're at a point when running backs, when it goes bad, it goes all the way bad. I saw that for myself in my career. When it got bad, it got ugly real quick. You're still going to draft a guy. But if you're able to get someone like Le'Veon Bell, you probably don't have to draft a guy as early in the draft, even if you're deciding to do that this year.
So how much would you have to pay Le'Veon Bell?
$14-15 a year, probably.
The Eagles team would pay $15 million a year to a running back.
No, they don't.
I don't think they do either. All right, Tyrone has some interesting business news that just hit. Tyrone, you want to lay it on the audience here? They can make this connect.
Yes. So over there, the English Premier League team Crystal Palace is now up for sale. And you say, why are we talking about that? It's because the Sixers owner owns half of that team. And that's going to sell for multiple billion dollars. That now allows him to have the capital to invest in the luxury tax necessary to keep this Sixers squad together, because it will be substantial. In 18 months, they could have the highest payroll in all of the NBA, in fact, if they have to max out everybody, and you would have to max everybody to keep everybody. They will now 100% have the cash on hand to do that, because they're going to make upwards of $5 to $6 billion on this sale.
Well, there you go.
That's interesting.
That's a good connect there. Now, while Tyrone was looking at that information, I got another email. Why people are upset with Brett, including me, is the email. For the last 2.5 years, number one, lose too many games with huge leads. Number two, turnover issues have not improved. Number three, defense gets worse. Number four, can't beat Boston. Number five, awful play calling out of timeouts. Number six, added Jimmy Butler and Harris, but the offensive scheme is exactly the same. And number seven, manages timeouts poorly late in the game.
Well, I think most of them are true.
A lot of it's true.
Yeah. Yep. I wonder what the difference. How would you? Because to me, Jimmy Butler is a guy that should have the ball in his hands, going to the basket, scoring. But how would you make that happen with a guy like Ben and Joel Embiid on the team? To me, it just doesn't fit. And we talk about maxing guys out. Is Jimmy Butler the type of guy that you want to max out and have him come back to this team next year?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I want to keep them all together. It's really the only hope I have to win a championship, by keeping all those guys together and counting on Golden State taking a step down, and then you're ready to strike. I got to have the best players.
That's true. I mean, I wonder how they're going to make it work. I think having Jimmy certainly increases your odds to win. I think the scheme is wrong, similar to what that guy that emailed you. I think their scheme is wrong. I think they try to share the ball way more than they should. I think the best teams in the league, they have a lead player that's going to get you 28, 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. And with the Sixers, everybody's going to get 18, and that's just not good enough. I think you have to have a lead dog. I mean, look at all the top leagues, Milwaukee. They have the Greek Freak, obviously Harden and Steph and all those other guys out in Golden State. Yeah, and I don't see the Sixers having that same type of talent level there to have that lead dog and take all the shots and score most of the points.
All right, let's go to Ian in the media. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ian?
Hey, Mike. Sorry for getting disconnected there. But like what I was trying to say with the trade and everything to acquire him, because if you actually cut Pierce right now, that actually saves you $10.5 million. If they cut him right now, if they first cut him right now, because, well...
Yeah, again, what I said to you back was, why would Pittsburgh do it? Like, they're not in the business of helping you.
Well, I'm not.
You know, they got their own team to help.
I know, but right now...
Second-round pick is not worth a starting left tackle who can protect Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, don't you think, like, what would they do with a second-round pick as opposed to a starting left tackle?
Well, right now, start filling up all the holes that you got with minus Le'Veon Bell. You're going to be losing A.B., and, like, everyone's clearing out. It's like, it looks like a rebuilding year with them. I'll be flat-out honest. It does look like a rebuilding year.
You know, a starting left tackle with a quarterback who's getting up in age, to me, is really risky. I don't think Pittsburgh would be interested. Well, that's a good thought. You know, I can't, you know.
Well, they're not totally rebuilding either, though, because they just paid Pouncey a little bit of money, too.
Yeah, they paid a couple guys. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not totally rebuilding. I think that they feel, when you talk about getting rid of Antonio Brown, I think that they feel as a team that they're better without Antonio Brown. They feel that with James Conner, they don't have to worry about Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know that if you're in Pittsburgh, you're thinking that you're rebuilding at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Brian, and always a pleasure, man. You can have a good night down there tonight. You're presenting, obviously.
Yeah, I'm presenting the Brian Westbrook Tri-State Player of the Year. And ironically enough, I was with Jim Cramer last night, and he told me that back in the day, he won the high school Tri-State Player of the Year. Which was crazy
really?
To hear. Yeah.
For what high school?
Some high school, because you know he's right. He's from right outside of
yeah,
Philly, and I'm not sure. He
guy.
Told me the high school, but I'm not exactly sure the name of it.
All right. Well, good luck tonight. Present and give that wonderful speech that you always do.
Absolutely. It sounds great. Take care. Have fun down there.
All right. There he is, Brian Westbrook at the Maxwell Club. Doing his good work down there with the Maxwell people. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got the huge 5 o'clock hour right here where I will describe the methodology of preparing the infield.
I can't wait.
Since it's late on Friday, and frankly, I'm a little burned out, if I'll be honest with you.
People
need to help me out here because I had a rough night last night. I'm not going to lie. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.